Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 21. When they, that is Jesus, Peter, James, and John, came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, they came to a crowd. And a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. A lunatic means somebody who is influenced by the moon. At that particular point in history, it often referred to somebody who had epileptic fits or convulsions. And that seems to fit with the context, so let me read here. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire, gets burned, and often into the water, might drown. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said to the Father and the crowd, You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples, that is the other nine, came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. Notice it's not the lack of faith or unbelief, but insufficient faith. Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, pretty small, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This story contains a number of things to consider. But today, our primary focus will be faith in relation to the way it is used in this story. And the way it's used in this story is faith related to healing, for obtaining miracles from God, for casting out demons, and even for moving mountains, which, according to historians, is an idiom for doing the impossible. This particular focus, however, focus on faith for healing and miracles and casting out of demons and moving mountains or doing the impossible, comes with a number of challenges, at least in my opinion. And I want to lay these out first. So the first challenge is that I don't want to use Christian cliches or promote unrealistic expectations in talking about faith in this area of life. A second challenge is the probability that you will filter what we talk about today through your preconceived beliefs about faith for these things, so that what is said, you're going to filter and it may not fit neatly into what you already believe. And that's a challenge. By the way, that's always a challenge for the teacher. I know what I'm saying, and you think you know what I'm saying based on your beliefs, your values, your knowledge, your preconceived ideas, your assumptions. Those are filters that go between your ear and your mind, and that affects what you hear. So that's always a challenge. The third challenge is that God's Word does not present this faith as a one-size-fits-all. It's like there's just this faith and everything falls into this one-size-fits-all thing. No. And the Word of God does not clearly define this kind of faith that's required for these kinds of things. And it doesn't provide step-by-step instructions. You know, follow these five steps and automatically the result will be there. It doesn't even do that. And the last challenge that I think we face, or at least I face in talking about this, is that there is little chance I'll be able to answer all your questions. I don't have all the answers. I do hope, however, to at least move you closer to understanding and practicing this kind of faith as a normal part of your life. That I hope to do. With that in mind, let's pray. Father, teach us through your word, through the work of your Spirit in us, through your own activity in speaking to us. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So once again, I'm talking about faith in relation to healing, miracles, casting out demons, and doing the impossible. So keep that in mind, please. That's the boundaries for today's talk. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21, talks about a kind of faith that is too little to accomplish the task at hand. So it brings that into the story. It talks about faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains. It talks about faith that requires prayer and fasting to rise to the level required to bring about its intended results. It presents a faith that rebukes demons and commands things to be done. We generally ask, God, will you? We go to prayer. In this story, there's commanding and rebuking. And it presents unbelief as a blockage to accomplishing what faith can do. All this is found in these eight verses. If we go outside these eight verses, we discover both similar and different ways faith for healing, for obtaining miracles, for casting out demons, and moving mountains is expressed and responded to by God. And so my goal today is to introduce you to the various statements and examples of faith found in God's Word, not just in these eight verses, but in the larger Word of God. And I'm doing this not to confuse you, though I suspect that's a possible outcome. I'm doing this not to confuse you, but to introduce to you a broader base of information from God's Word about this kind of faith. So, to begin, in relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, the Scripture teaches that we can come to God in faith for ourselves or on behalf of someone else. An example of seeking healing, an example of seeking healing for ourselves is found in Matthew 9:22. And this isn't the only place. I'm just going to give you one scripture for each example today. And here's what Matthew 9:22 says. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, remember this was the woman who had the hemorrhage, and she thought, if I can just touch the hem of his cloak, I will be healed. So Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. She came for herself. She got the healing. At once, the woman was made well. An example of an individual seeking healing for someone else is found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he was saying these things, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. He was there for his daughter. He had the faith, and he was asking in faith for Jesus to raise her from the dead. I'm going to give you two examples of a group seeking healing for an individual. First one comes from Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 6. And they brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, notice seeing their faith, not the paralytic's faith. So this group of people, I don't know, two, three, four, brought this individual to Jesus in faith and asking Jesus to do something for him. And Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. Mind you, he saw their faith. Seeing their faith, he says, your sins are forgiven. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he did. In James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we read these words. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, a group of people. And they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So those are examples of coming on your own behalf or coming on behalf of somebody else. In relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, some have great faith, some little faith, some ask for help to believe. And where Jesus makes no comment about an individual's or a group's faith, we can, or at least I'm choosing to assume, their faith is sufficient. So an example of great faith is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 10, and then I'm going to read verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. By the way, this was a Gentile, the centurion who came. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. That's also an example of coming on behalf of somebody else, but an example of great faith. An example of just little faith, Matthew 16, verses 7 through 9, the disciples began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. Remember that story? We looked at that just recently. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand to remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Now, little faith doesn't mean no faith. It means little faith. An example of asking for help in believing comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. And here's what it says. This, by the way, father had brought his son, and it says, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Jesus, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. In relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, our faith is most often the deciding factor in receiving God's help. Our faith is the deciding factor most often in receiving God's help. The examples that I've just read to you should demonstrate this fact. But an example beyond that is found in the Gospels and all the people, crowds of people, that came in faith and either asked Jesus or laid somebody before him to be healed by Jesus. Now, if he ran into two crowds, one 5,000, and that was only the men, there were women and children besides, and a second one, 4,000, that's only the men, and there's women and children besides. If there were those kind of crowds coming, and some number of those were bringing sick people or were sick themselves, imagine how many people came in faith looking for something from Jesus. So the ones I've read and just the other stories that are there in the Gospels. An example of how insufficient faith or outright unbelief on the part of people limits God's response comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. And Jesus did not do many miracles in his hometown, Nazareth. Why? Because of their unbelief. His power wasn't limited. It wasn't that he couldn't. It's they did not believe. In relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, righteousness and earnestness are significant factors in gaining the asked for response from God. James chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And the next words are, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then James gives the example of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was human, just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again. And if you remember the story, he sent his servant off to look over the, check out the horizon to see if there was any clouds coming, because that would indicate rain. And he came back a few times before he said, yeah, there's, you know, about the size of a hand, I see one. And then it rained. Yes. He prayed again and the sky poured rain and the earth produced its fruit. In relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, some take authority over what it is they are doing in faith. Some ask God to act. And some God heals for his own reasons without being asked. An example of taking authority over something in faith comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. They didn't go out and say, God, would you? Jesus, would you? They said, be healed. Demon, come out. They took authority over. An example of commanding, Acts chapter 16, verse 18, and I assume most of us are familiar with the story. She, there, who was a demon-possessed, fortune-telling slave girl making money for her masters, she continued following Paul and saying, so she's saying this out in the public, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. Many days, I don't know how many that is, but many days, a lot of days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. An example of asking God in faith comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were open. They asked. An example of God acting for his own reasons without being asked comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Now, as Jesus approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. She lost her only source of revenue, security, the one who would provide what she needed. And Jesus looked at her and felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Nobody asked him to do this. He just did it all on his own. In relation to faith for healing and other types of miracles, doubt gets in the way of receiving what we want to accomplish by faith. Matthew 21, 20 through 22. Seeing the withered fig tree, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" If you're not familiar with that story, we'll get there one of these days, Lord willing. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt." If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, "Be taken up and cast into the sea," it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. In this example, Jesus presents the method of commanding mountain be cast into the sea, and the method of asking in faith as the two means for gaining what is desired. But he also presents doubt as preventing it from happening. And to doubt, in this sense, is to waver or be in a state of uncertainty or to hesitate in proceeding to do what your faith is wanting to do. In spite of having sufficient faith to bring about healing or other miracles, and I think we should consider this one too, in spite of having sufficient faith to bring about healing or other miracles, you will lose whatever spiritual standing you have with God because of your faith if you do not have love or you unrepentantly practice sin, that is, live a lawless life. Two scriptures. The lack of love example comes from 1 Corinthians 13:2. "If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge," and notice these next words, "if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing." Nothing. Example of unrepentantly practicing sin? Matthew 7, 22 through 23. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' All acts of faith, are they not?" And then I, Jesus says, "I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The last part of this section that I want to present is the fact that faith in any form or for any use can grow stronger. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21 says, "Without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." Well, he wasn't dead, just kind of past producing children. "Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." Grew strong in faith. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged." They started with smaller faith, and it grew. "And the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." And I want to just remind you of James chapter 1, 2 to 4, and Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. These are two portions that talk about growth. And faith is involved in both those scriptures. All right, we've looked at a number of examples from God's word concerning faith for healing, for obtaining miracles from God, for casting out of demons, and for moving mountains or doing the impossible. And as I stated earlier, my purpose is not to confuse you, but to expose you to these various examples of faith and to demonstrate that there seems to be no clear and exact definition of faith for these kinds of things, nor is there a single formula to follow, nor a step-by-step set of instructions. So for me, maybe not for you, but for me, this raises some questions. And I want to present these questions. How does God measure faith for these things? Does he measure it by the amount of faith we have at the moment of asking? Like when we show up to ask, does the amount of faith we have in that moment, is that what he measures? If so, does that mean faith for healing is separate from faith for godly living? That's just my first set of questions. Next ones. Can we pump up faith for moments of need? Can we, you know, like you get the pump out and you pump it up? Can we pump up faith for moments of need? Or is faith for the need of the moment built on and strengthened by the faith we have for the rest of life? Is it possible to pump up sufficient faith for healing or some other miracle from God while living day by day in ways that demonstrate we lack faith for loving our spouse or our children or our neighbors or our enemies as we ought? Third set. Is it our faith that gives God the power and ability to heal or work a miracle on our behalf? Is it our faith that does that? Or does our faith put us in the kind of condition whereby God wants to respond accordingly? I don't know how many times, I haven't counted them, but frequently in the Gospels, Jesus acted because he felt compassion. Yeah. Does it put us in the kind of condition? Fourth, if faith is like an invitation to God to use his power and ability on our behalf, kind of giving away what I am thinking there, right? Is unbelief a form of telling God not to act on our behalf? Going back to my third set of questions, I don't think it's our faith that gives God the power. He's got the power regardless. Right? But we do have to ask that question. Fifth, what is little faith? What is it? O ye of little faith, what is that? What is little faith? Is it insufficient faith? Is it a mixture of faith and doubt? If so, what is faith in the wrong thing? When you think you have faith in God, but it's faith in the wrong thing, what is that? What do we call that? Or faith used for wrong purposes. What do we call that? Six. What about faith the size of a mustard seed? What does it look like? Why does Jesus compare great faith, or even sufficient faith, with faith the size of a mustard seed, which is very small? Why does he do that? Jesus seems to say that for some things, sufficient faith requires prayer and fasting. And I'm assuming he means prayer and fasting prior to commanding or asking for a healing or some other miracle. Not in the moment, but prior. So you go into that moment having prayed and fasted. So my question is, what do prayer and fasting have to do with sufficient faith? And finally, is the power to heal, cast out demons, and do the impossible in our faith? Or is the power of God the source of the power? If the power is in God and not in our faith, could this be why Christians seem to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. In the name of Jesus, I ask you. This is not intended to confuse you, and we will not end with this today, the Lord willing. But maybe you can see that there are challenges in defining and deciding what faith for healing and other miracles is. What is this faith? We talk about it. We might even sing about it. We encourage others to express it, to believe in it, to call upon God in faith. And yet, there are challenges in defining and deciding how we can have sufficient faith. Sufficient faith to command. Have you ever commanded something to happen? I would say, by and large, we always ask, God, would you? What about faith for casting out a demon? Or for securing some other thing that is needed to meet a God-approved need? I've said this in the past, so I know at least some of you have heard it. In a very short time, I had two experiences. One was a neighbor. The husband was laying on the couch. The wife thought near death. He looked pretty bad. He was old like I am now. I was younger then. And the wife came down. They attended Brightmoor Tabernacle. So they definitely believed in praying for healing. And she came down and asked, she knew I was a pastor. She came down to our house. She was two doors down, Trumbull's, that was her name, and asked if I would pray for him. So I went down with her. It was during mealtime, I believe. Got up, went down, prayed for him. He got better. I mean, pretty quick, he was better. And I think it was in the next week, someone asked me to pray for them, and I did, hoping for the same response, and they got worse. Yeah. How do we make sense of that? All right, the Lord willing, we will return to this subject next Sunday, because we can't stop here. And we will carry on from today. So in preparation, consider this. Faith is not a mustering of will or having the power to make life the way you want it. Faith is trusting in God, His will, His word, and living and speaking and praying accordingly.